and Mr. Penn, the Holy Gospel today is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 to 33. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will stand by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the world. Therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life a greater thing than the food, and the body greater than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they are? Which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his size a single inch? And as for clothing, why are you anxious? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which flourishes today and tomorrow is thrown into an oven, how much more you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what are we to put on? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your Father knows that you need all these things. Therefore seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these other things shall be given you besides." So far the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear people, the Gospel we just read certainly invites us to present to you the Catholic doctrine on trust in divine providence. What we just read sometimes is deliberately misinterpreted by lazy loafers, freeloaders. As if our Lord is telling here, don't work, do nothing, just sit back, and the Lord will throw it all in your direction. Everything you and your children need for food, for clothing, for rent, you name it, it will all come to you if you just say a phony prayer now and then. Oh, no, that's not the Catholic doctrine of providence. What is taught here is this, my dear people. You do your part of your responsibilities. If you are a father or a mother responsible for a family, you do all you can to provide for your family. You do all you can, and then you trust in God that he too will not let you down. That is the true Catholic doctrine. You do all you can, and God then, if you keep trusting in him, if you keep putting the kingdom of God first in your beliefs, then he too will never let you down. It's a theological paraphrasing of that old down-to-earth saying, God helps those who help themselves. But I'm not going to develop this today. This is still the summer during which I don't give you long sermons. Next week I'm back to my old weaknesses. But I just want to call your attention to that first line of this Sunday's Gospel narration. A devastating statement on the part of our Lord, with unbelievable consequences. Namely, the statement, at that time Jesus said to his disciples, not just to his disciples of his time, the audience that was listening to him, hanging on his lips, he said it to his disciples, his followers, his believers, of all future generations as well. It was to us that he said, quote, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will stand by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve two masters. And that uncompromising statement of our Lord applies first of all, my dear people, to our moral life, the way we behave when it comes to morality. In the epistle of this Sunday, very closely connected to the gospel of this Sunday's Mass, St. Paul teaches us, reminds us, as if we didn't know it, that every human being is composed, if I may use that word for lack of a better one, each human being is composed of a spiritual element, the soul, we call it, and a material element, the body. And as long as we live, there will be that internal conflict within each one of us, between the spirit and the body, between the material and the spiritual. Temptation, we call it, when that material element of ours try to take over from the spiritual element in our life. Some people, most people, let the material element take over, provide them the directions of how to conduct themselves. Those are the people who have little or no moral principles left. Those are people who are obsessed by either one of those three driving forces which St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologica described in beautiful Latin very succinctly, teaching that if you want to understand anything at all, everything that takes place in the world, you can always attribute those actions to either one of three things. Superbia vitae, he called it, the lust for power, the lust for power. Pride, superbia vitae, lusting for power. The second driving force in the world, St. Thomas calls it, concupiscentia carnis, the lust for sex, unbridled sex, not the sex that God gave as one of the greatest gifts to humanity, to be used only in the bonds of the sacrament of matrimony. No, sex confused with lust. And the third driving force in this world's activities, St. Thomas calls concupiscentia oculorum, the lust for money. Power, sex, and money, that's what most of the people live for, my dear people. And as a result, what are they producing? Well, St. Paul describes it here, and he makes it clear. He said, I'm mentioning a few things, he said. There is much more to this filthy description. What are the results of those who live by those standards, or lack of standards? St. Paul tells us what it amounts to. Immorality, uncleanliness, filthiness, both spiritually and physically, licentiousness, idolatry, worshipping of all sorts of false gods, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, that's a very poor English translation, drugs would be, narcotics would be the correct translation, jealousies, anger, jealousies, cutting each other's throat, quarrels, factions, parties, anything goes under the name of party these days. Envy, murders, drunkenness, you name it. It almost sounds like a summary of both the Daily News and the New York Post. If you want to throw news in there, that's all right with me too. And where will it all end? St. Paul leaves no doubt about it. In his inspired words, they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God, meaning they are doomed to be total failures where their destiny is concerned. They will not attain the kingdom of God for which they too were created. They too, the ones living by all those filthy standards, they too were created in the image of God, to whom they now turn their back. And where will it all end? They will not attain the kingdom of God. They'll never reach their final destination. And when one misses out on reaching the kingdom of God, which spells heaven, then they inevitably end up at that other end of the spectrum of eternity. We call it hell. Yes, we still believe in that too. And on the other hand, there are those who by the grace of God try to live by God's own standards of morality, the Ten Commandments we used to call them. And if those who succeed in living by those, God's own standards, by His grace, sure, also resisting temptation, and if perhaps through human weakness they fall for those temptations temporarily, they also know how to return to God's grace, the God who gave us the sacrament of penance, confession, to come back to Him, even after human weakness separated us from Him for a while. Those who live by God's standards, what kind of society could they hope for? One quote from St. Paul again, charity, a world of charity. A world of joy, a world of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, the golden rule they used to call it, do to others what you would like them to do to you, mildness, faith, trust in God, modesty, continency, chastity, adapted to each state in life. The single person, no sex whatsoever. The married person, the sex God gave them. Not only tolerating it, but indeed blessing it as one of the greatest gifts given to humanity. The gift that even leads human beings to be direct cooperators in God's very own work of creation. My dear people, no man can serve two masters. Either one lives by the standards or lack of them of the world, and the final chapter spells hell. Or one tries to live by the standards of God, and the final chapter spells heaven. That uncompromising doctrine of our Lord, no man can serve two masters, it applies not only to our moral conduct, it also applies to our faith, to what we believe. No man can serve two masters when it comes to believing either, my dear people. You either belong to the true church or you belong to a false church. You either believe in the true church, the one of 19, almost 2,000 years old, or you go with the new sect. But you cannot serve both at the same time. Either you hold down to the true sacrifice of the Mass, or you fall for the new thing, whatever they call it. It's either or. No man can serve two masters in that field also. My dear people, I cannot be blamed for this uncompromising position. I didn't say it, that no man can serve two masters. He, the living God, said so. And that's why, my dear people, by His grace, you and I must each Sunday, each day really, renew our determination never to attempt to serve two masters, but always, by His very own grace, remain loyal and serve the one Master. The one who promised us that the final chapter for those who do serve him uncompromisingly indeed spells the kingdom of God, which we call heaven. So be it.